in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. So we fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight. It's not a natural fight. And we know that from what the Word tells us in the New Testament, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. Now, I have here on my table a couple of natural weapons. One of them is, actually, they're all pretty much ceremonial. They're not, don't get worried, pastors bringing weapons to church, okay? They're more ceremonial, including the sword that is on the table that was gifted to me several years ago by a gentleman from West Point. But when we are looking at this picture here, this picture of these weapons, these natural tools, if you will, in the plan of God, that we see that Nehemiah was sent to rebuild the wall. He was really moved by God to do so. And so some of the lessons that we said that are important for us as New Testament believers to just kind of, to just check ourselves on is, number one, find yourself faithful in those little things. Nehemiah was faithful in the little, right? He was faithful in the little. Number two, follow compassion, not anger. You see, it's real easy to get over into righteous anger, isn't it? It's real easy when we see things that really bother us, that just run against God. Part of it is our connection to our Heavenly Father. We don't want to see like satanic rituals on a music awards show, do we? It gets you mad. But how do we expect the world to act if they don't know God? Jesus said that, you know, the enemy, he lies, steals, kills, and destroys. He deceives people. And when we see stuff like that, we can get angry. We can just get angry. Rather, be moved with compassion. So we talked about find yourself faithful, follow compassion, not anger. When you see injustice in the world, follow the compassion of God, not anger. Number three, find God's plan through prayer and through the Word. Find God's plan through prayer and through the Word. And then we said this, that we need to focus on His help. That He's with us. John 14 and 18. That He's with us. He's with us. Say, God's with me. See, when you walk out of this place today, God's with you. Even if you slam right into Monday morning. Some of you feel like you slam right into Monday morning. Right? Depends on your boss. Depends on your coworker. Depends on what's going on. What are you going to find at work? You know, what am I going to face when I walk in tomorrow morning? Right? Well, see, we find God's plan through prayer and the Word, but we focus on the fact that He's our helper. Say, God's my helper. He's my helper. He's with me. God didn't leave us as orphans. That's what He told us. In John 14, He said, I haven't left you as an orphan. I've sent you another one. A paraclete. One called alongside. A helper, right? He helps us. And then we need to facilitate God's plan. Get the plan of God. Know that He's got a good plan. Even when you think things are going kind of, They're getting off. He's still got a good plan. Find that good plan. Look deep down inside and know that He's speaking it to you. Just listen. Listen. Fix your eyes on being aware. We talked about Ephesians chapter 5, walking circumspectly. Fix your eyes on being aware. Last week, we spent a lot of time on following through. And I took you over there to 2 Kings, and I talked to you about the story of the fact that, you know, the prophet is dying. The king is feeling a little desperate. He hears the prophet is dying. He goes to the prophet, and he says, you know, my father, who's going to protect Israel? Who's going to protect Israel? Because up until that time, Elisha was He was kind of the Israel's secret weapon. You know what I mean? It's like anytime the enemy had a battle plan, God would tell it to Elisha, and Elisha would tell it to the king. Oh yeah, the enemy's going to be over there, and Israel would be there. Oh, the enemy's going to be over there, and Israel would be there. Oh, by the way, the enemy's going to be over here, and Israel would be there ahead of time. Well, it's getting the king of Aram so angry, so upset, that he doesn't know what to do. He's getting so upset. So we find out in another story with the prophet, not the one I talked to you about last week, we find out the king actually sends an entire army, to go and find Elisha. Because, first of all, he went to his people and he said, hey, who's telling stuff? Is it one of you? Somebody's telling our battle plans. Finally, one of the soldiers said, no, it's that prophet. It's that prophet. He even knows what you say in your bedroom. You see, when the Holy Ghost is involved in your life, he'll tell you things to come. And he'll reveal stuff to you. He'll reveal truth to you. He'll help you through situations. But we've got to humble ourselves to listen. To listen. And so we said that we have to follow through. Getting back to our story that I mentioned last week. So the prophet is dying. He tells the king, take an arrow and open up the window. And we had a young man shoot an arrow out the window. We actually did that here, yes. It was a fake arrow, just for those of you that were concerned. It has rubber tips. Nobody was going to be hurt. And he said, the arrow of the Lord. The prophet said, the arrow of the Lord. And one of the points that I wanted to mention to you about following through in faith is this. When God gives you territory, when he gives you you've made some progress in some areas. It's important that we follow through. It's important that we follow through. And God's really, really talking to me a lot about that. About following through in prayer. When we get a victory, we don't just sit back and go, ooh, got a victory. But that we keep on. We keep the pressure on. Say, keep the pressure on. See, we've got to follow through. You see, the prophet not only stopped at, oh, we shot an arrow out the window. Incidentally, that is an ancient way of declaring war. It's an ancient way to declare war, to shoot an arrow and say, that's my territory. When a conqueror would arrive on a new land, they would shoot an arrow. They were basically saying, that's mine. So when we, as God's people, through prayer, are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. When we shoot arrows into the enemy's camp, it is our way of saying, that's our territory, that's ours for the kingdom of God. So what are you doing? You're, by faith, taking that weapon of prayer, that weapon of prayer. We're going to see it in a moment in Ephesians 6. We follow through. We follow through with the plan of God. With the plan of God, we follow through. Now, the second part of that story, which if you're not careful, you'll miss, is after he shoots the arrow through the window, the east window, aiming at their east enemy, he says, now take your arrows and strike the ground. The prophet didn't say how many times. So the king took the arrows out and he strikes the ground 3 times. And then the prophet gets angry. He said, why didn't you strike 5 or 6? Because of that, you're only going to defeat them 3 times. What is that? That's a lesson of follow through. That's a lesson of that. When God tells you to do something, you need to do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. So following through. Nehemiah is an example of finishing the job. He was a rebuilder. It was a whatever it takes attitude. Turn over there to Nehemiah 4:6, if you would, please. Nehemiah 4:6. Nehemiah 4:6. It's a can-do attitude. It is, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with my whole heart. You see, He's got a plan that if you would cooperate with that plan, it is going to be such a blessing to everyone around. Everyone around is going to see the plan, and they're going to see that something has happened to you. In verse 6 of Nehemiah chapter 4, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city. For the people had worked with enthusiasm. That's the New Living Translation. And we know that the Word of God tells us that they didn't just weren't enthused about the work. The New King James puts it this way: they joined together that the wall was joined together up to half its height. Listen to this word, and if you haven't underlined it in your Bible, you can, or highlight it. It says, for the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. So after they've gotten the wall half height, they got it up half height, they're working hard. Nehemiah's out there. He's not even a builder. I told you this last week. He found himself faithful, was moved with compassion. He found God's plan, and here he is. He's in the middle of this thing. He's in the middle of trying to get this wall rebuilt. There are things in your life that need to be rebuilt. There are things in this church that need to be rebuilt. And it's going to take people that have a mind to work and have a passion for the things of God to say, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make this happen for children's ministry. Let's make this happen for youth ministry. Right now, upstairs, we've got some enthusiastic youth leaders that were giving it their all yesterday, giving it their all. They were here this morning. And we got some parents that are helping to hold up their arms, right, and give those rides and everything else. What do they do? They have a mind to work on the things of God. They have a mind to see the plan of God come to fruition. And we continue on Nehemiah chapter 4, that the enemy always shows up when there's good things happening. He always shows up because he doesn't want them to happen. He doesn't want them to happen. You know, recently I think I read a statistic to you that was kind of a little bit depressing about how many young people are leaving the church once they get to a certain age. And I started meditating on that a little bit. And you know, you could get yourself kind of all in the mully grubs. But you could also look at that as an opportunity to shoot an arrow and take some kingdom back. You could take your spiritual weapon and see some things happen. You can actually fasten your seatbelt. And so that's my next point. Fasten your seatbelt. Because you are in for a fight. You're in for a fight. When I was a kid, we used to go and we used to try to fish. My cousin and I would try to fish for sharks. Yeah. And, you know, when you're a little kid and you think, oh, if I could just, you know, find a piece of meat, you know, it's all, you know, rotten and stuff and put it on a big hook. I'd buy a big hook. Big hooks were cool. And put it on the end of your pole, you know, and you just hoped that something big would bite it, you know. And we usually weren't in deep enough water. but I remember one time we were out in this tiny little boat. And let me tell you something. I was probably 8 years old. It was my first really cool adult-looking rod and reel that was given to me. And I put this bloody mullet, not trying to get too gross if you're having breakfast or something. I put this bloody fish on the end of it, put my big hook on it with a piece of wire. I'm like, I'm going to catch me a shark. And we threw it out in the back of the boat. And to be honest with you, we started forgetting about it. You know, we're putting the hand lines over. We're pulling in little fish that we're going to eat, my cousin and I. And the next thing I know, my line goes, and the pole goes like this, and I mean, for a good 25 minutes, my cousin's holding me. I think my dad was holding me, and they're like, keep, and I mean, I'm just reeling that thing in. It was like, fasten your seatbelt, because you got something. When we are in a spiritual fight, fasten your seatbelt. Oh yeah, we want revival. We want revival, but you know what? Grace is God's power, right? But grace comes where there's messy stuff. And if you had a chance, and if you do have a chance to watch the Jesus Revolution movie, you see that. When there's revival, there's stuff that comes with it. There's stuff. Say stuff. Let me tell you something. Fasten your seatbelt. If this is what many are saying is one of the last end time revivals before Jesus comes back, fasten your seatbelt. And do that through prayer. You know, when I was a kid and we pulled in that shark, it wasn't very big, but man, we pulled it in. And I had, as a little 8-year-old, at that 8-year-old level, I had to fasten my seatbelt. I had to, like, get ready. I mean, I had to change my stance. Change your stance. Fasten your seatbelt. Get ready in prayer. Be aware of what's going on and watch what God is going to do. Are you fit for that fight? Ask yourself, am I ready for that fight? Because some of you might need to change some things in your life. One of the things that keeps speaking to me about this revival is the hunger. The hunger. I can't teach hunger to you. I can't teach it to you. We're either hungry or we're not. We're either hungry for the things of God, the move of God, and we're willing to put it aside like these young people. It was said that even at this particular location at the Asbury Revival, it was said that some people had gone in, and when they got to the front, the carpet was stained with tears. Wet. With tears. Not just stained, wet with tears. Because there was a hunger. There is a hunger. There is a hunger. And the generation that is longing, that we've been talking about how that generation has fallen away. They've fallen away from empty religion. That's what they've fallen away from. They want authentic move of God. They're crying out to God saying, God, I need you. Would it be that we, no matter how long we've known the Lord, no matter how long we haven't, that we would be that hungry saying, God, show me something new, because I'm not all that. I don't have it all. I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. You know, it's, for many years I was a youth pastor, and as a parent, I see this as well. And, you know, when kids are growing up and stuff, and you draw a line and you say, okay, this is the line. Don't cross the line, right? What do your kids do? What do my kids do? They're kids. What do human beings do? We go right up to the line. Is this okay? I'm right up on the line, right? And in for some cases, and this is what we see that even believers, sometimes we step over the line. Or we have one foot over one line and one foot over the other line. I believe we're in a day that if we want to get serious with God and we want to have that hunger, we might need to move the line back a bit. You say, what are you talking about? There's a reason. There's a reason why I don't see R-rated movies. It's called I Moved the Line. I moved the line, right? And part of the reason why I moved that line, I'll be honest with you, was early on in my ministry when I was single and I was just going out with some friends and we went and, oh, let's go see this movie, let's go see that movie. And there was an R-rated movie. And We were going to go see it. I was new as a youth leader. I wasn't even a youth pastor. I was new as a youth leader in my church. And some of the youth were in line at the same movie theater. And they were like, oh, you're going to see that one? And I'm like, I changed my mind right away. I go, no, not going to go see that one. What did I do? I moved the line. I would rather say no to some entertainment than have somebody say, oh, it's okay for me to, and cause them to stumble. Move the line. For some of us, it doesn't mean that we need to run down to an altar and just, you know, like just cry out and talk about all the terrible things we did. Maybe that's not the case at all, but the hunger, if we're going to get the hunger right, maybe it's just that we move the line. That we move the line. Well, Pastor, it's okay. There's nothing in the Bible that says I can't do that. That maybe you're right. But what do you might need to move the line. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about you putting it on somebody else. I'm talking about you and your relationship with Christ. And you go, God, I'm going to give that to you because I really don't need it. I'm going to move the line. Because I don't need to be that close to it. You know what I'm talking about? You guys okay? All right. I don't know. All right. I do know. Amen. I do know. All right. So one of the things that we see is you need to fasten your seatbelt because the enemy, he comes in. He comes in and he tries to intimidate us. Verse 16. And so it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. It's part of the reason why my little table's up here, right? Is that we've got to be willing to do the work of the ministry and be willing to fight spiritually for what's going on. We've got to be able to do the work of the ministry, and ministry is work. If you've ever been involved in a church, if you've ever volunteered, it takes work. It takes work to learn how to do a soundboard when it's not your soundboard. Right, Brother Colin? It takes work to learn how to do things that maybe are not your comfort zone. You know, it's interesting. I was reading through this book of Nehemiah, and did you know that there was a guy who made perfume? That was his career. He made perfume. But in the middle of building the wall for the cause of Christ, for the cause of Jerusalem, in this case, he put his perfume business aside and was building a wall. Do you think it was comfortable for him, who probably was working with delicate things, flowers and such, to make perfume? Now he's got to go over here and grab a hammer, maybe grab a trowel, mix up some mud, and build a wall. Stepping out of your comfort zone. Stepping out of your comfort zone. It says, and so that they worked with one hand with construction, with the other hand held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Have you ever seen one of these? This is a short one. They do make long ones that are about yay long. Wasn't in my budget. But this is a shofar. This is used in Jewish religion. It is used to sound the alarm. It is used to communicate, to let battle plans know.
Mm-hmm.
one who blew the trumpet was right next to Nehemiah. Why was that? Because when they heard that sound, they would all rush to defend what was happening. What I hear the Spirit of God saying when I think about Asbury, when I think about Lee University, when I think about, I hear the Spirit of God saying, there's a call going out in the land. I hear the Spirit of God saying, it's time for people to rise up to that place in Christ where it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Where do you want me on the wall, God? Where do you want me in this rebuilding process, God? Where do you want me in this ministry, God? We need prayer teams at this church to pray ongoing when there's a prayer need. We need prayer teams. We don't have organized, structured prayer teams at the moment. We have people that know how to pray. We got people that have a passion to pray. But this is what we need. We need children's ministers. We need youth ministers to come alongside the Jacksons so that when the alarm is sounded, you hear me, church, that we come and hear that alarm and say, yeah, we got this. We got this. He said this. He said, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great. It's extensive. We're separated far from each other on the world. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and our God will fight for us. There is a prayer fight that is for us. As we shot an arrow out the window, as we struck the ground, and I ended last week saying, keep striking the ground. Follow through with what God tells you. As we unpack what God wants for our church, He's not finished with us. This church has just gotten started on what God wants us to do. We're believing that we will be, not will be in the future, but we will be known for what we are. What are we? We are an encouraging, loving, generous church. We're an alive church, alive to the things of God. That's what we are. We want to be known in this community and beyond of who we are and whose we are. That when there's a prayer need and I don't know how we're going to do this yet. I don't have all the logistics yet. But when there's a prayer need, that we hear about it. We know it. We're on it. And we'll do it. See, the prayer, the effective, fervent prayer of righteous men and women avails much. We're going to see things happen through prayer. We're going to see things happen that have laid dormant for many years but are now being rebuilt. Pandemic came, the Tobiases and the, you know, all the enemies of God are spiritual enemies of God that have tried to keep this church down. Let me tell you, those days are over because we've got our battle plan. We've got our battle plan. Our battle plan comes through prayer. Our battle plan comes through, okay, God, it's not about us, but it's about You. And when we hear the sound from heaven that says pray, we're going to pray. We're going to do what He says do. We're going to follow through. We're going to fasten our seatbelt and we're going to fear not. We're going to fear not. Fear not. 2 Timothy 1:7. Turn with me there. And then we're going to go over to our Ephesians 6 and finish up. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7. Thank God. You getting something out of this? I get myself happy. All right. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7. You probably have quoted this many, many times. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind. Of power, of love, and a sound mind. God's teaching us to follow through. Keep striking the ground. Keep striking the ground. You do that through prayer. You do that through prayer. Fasten your seatbelt, because let me tell you, you're in for a ride. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Turn with me now to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. We were there last week, but again, I think it bears repeating. It's okay to go through things again. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 10. What does it say? Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Glory to God. Having done all. Having done all to stand. Guess what the option is? Stand. There's no other choice. There's not, oh, fall down. I don't see that anywhere there. Having done all to stand, stand. There's your answer. Having done all to stand, stand. And so God's calling us to that place. He's calling us to follow through in faith. He's calling us not to be weary in well-doing. He's calling us to fasten our seatbelt, that we are in a spiritual battle. He is calling us to fear not. Fear not. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And a sound mind. God has told us that He's with us. That's more than enough. Are you ready for that fight? Are you fit for that fight? If you're not, move your line. Move your line. Quit dancing too close to the enemy. Move your line. And watch what God does. Again, it has nothing to do with legalism. It has everything to do with our heart. God wants your heart. He wants to commune with you. He wants you. So that you can say, just like the Apostle Paul, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. Then, and I said this came out in prayer today, and I'm going to just finish with this. If you remember the prophet, when the king sends an entire army, to go find him. And the prophet's servant and the prophet could see the same exact thing. They were in the same circumstance. They were both surrounded. One could see beyond the natural. The other one couldn't. But it was when the prophet said, God, open his eyes, that he would see there are more with us than against us. And when he did, the servant then saw the armies of heaven surrounding the armies of the enemy. He saw with spiritual vision, but the only way he saw with that spiritual vision was that he was standing next to somebody who could see. This question just kind of came out as we were praying today. What do people see when they stand beside you? What do people see when they stand beside you? Would it be that they would see Christ in us? The love of God in us? Not the judgment. Not the anger. Not the victim mentality. Not the pride and arrogance, but they would see Christ in us. The hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for lessons from Nehemiah. God, that we can follow through in faith. We can fasten our seatbelt. We can be fit for the fight, and we can fear not because you're with us. Father, help us to listen to the trump of God that is calling us to prayer, that's calling us to see this battle in prayer as we've launched an arrow through the window, or as we're striking the ground with arrows, Father, that we follow through, that we know that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. So, Father, we do say it's worth it. Is it worth the fight? Yes, it's worth the fight. To fight the good fight of faith, it's worth it. So, Father, I pray, God, that you would help your people to walk these truths out. Help us, God, as a church, to be all that we're supposed to be. As we see your kingdom established in this place, in this local house, Lord, I thank you for bringing forth laborers and harvesters, fresh creativity, God ideas to reach people, to break down barriers, to be Barnabases in this community, sons of encouragement wherever we go. Father, that you would show us those strategies, show us those opportunities, and God, that it would always be always about you. Be glorified, Lord, in our midst, in Jesus' name. If you're here in this place and you've never asked Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're watching online, you've never asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's real simple. You just believe in your heart and you confess him with your mouth. Accept his forgiveness. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And so we're going to pray a simple prayer. We do it every week, even if we think everybody here knows the Lord or not. We're just going to say this prayer out loud. And I want you just to pray with me. If you're watching at home, and if you're watching and this has been recorded and somebody sent this to you, go ahead and just receive Christ right where you are. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness, and he was raised from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to know. I'd like to send you some things, help you in your walk with God. This week, Foundations class will be communion. If you want to gather your communion elements. And we'll be letting you know when we'll start serving communion here in church in the next several months. We'll let you know when that occurs. We want to bring that back. And I believe that God is he's bringing back things back online. He's doing some things, and we're excited for everything that he's doing. Don't forget, your assignment is to invite people. Wrong card, Doug. You have some invite cards in the back. Please take these. I want to get these reprinted and redesigned. So go ahead and take all that we've got. Use them. Write your name on the back. Invite people. They say it takes several times of inviting somebody. And I've always said this, and I picked this up from Brother Colin, who's in sales or not, but every no is closer to a yes. And so you just keep sowing. You keep sowing, keep inviting. And right now, people are hungry because of what they hear. They hear things are happening at churches. And we know that things are happening at this church, right? So praise God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We have our sending out verse. Let's go ahead and say that over ourselves. Amen. Praise God. And the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve you. So he shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.